the Folds as well have accommodation for overnight guests. So that's one of the things we're actually looking at to see, can we use that? Obviously, it's negotiating with the housing association, but yes, Pete, we're looking at that, yeah.
Una.
On the homelessness one, as responded there previously, we are looking at all our temporary accommodation, and the temporary accommodation is obviously, as it says, it's for a temporary basis, and the aim is if we can allocate into long-term housing and also for low-intensity support. So that's currently been reviewed. We also deal with placing in a single let at the moment, and obviously that seems as a temporary solution. So even if somebody's in a single let a couple of years, it's still classified as a temporary situation, because under our allocations policy in government, we're not allowed to transact that through. In regard to the latent demand, we're more than happy to do latent demand tests in the rural areas. It's dependent. If an individual is coming through the door looking for a property and there's no property on the ground, at that point in time, obviously a housing options advisor would say, here's where housing is, here where it isn't. But I hear what you're saying, and the bigger picture strategically then, we need to get housing into the area. So those latent demand tests try and help that out. So we can certainly look at that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We will keep a record of these areas.
Okay, certainly. On the rural side, I know we have a rural policy side. They're not here today, but Clog would come under the rural village. They are doing latent testing. I mean, we can go forward and show you the examples of latent testing. What I can do is look and see on that, because if it's been committed to last year, I can look and see where Clog is in relation to that. What I'm hearing you're saying is when somebody actually comes in the door of the offices and they can't get a property where they want, that we keep a separate list of their name and their and where they would like to be. I'll pass over on that one as to the response to that one.
When you're registering on the waiting list, you can give two areas of choice. So your first area of choice, you know, in the sometimes would be Dunpatrick, but if, you know, as you've explained, there are people who maybe recognise there's more housing options in Dunpatrick, but would their preference is Killock, then they could list Killock as their second area of choice. And that is important, because when we're looking at areas for latent demand testing, or we're speaking to councillors and local reps, we do take into account, you know, where people's second preference locations are, and it's something that we can look at, you know, in terms of seeking out sites, particularly you know for overspill sites in areas where maybe we don't have any proposals. But we can certainly add Killock to our latent demand testing schedule for
you had your 10 minutes earlier on.
I certainly can get that. The difficulty we have in that is supply and demand as well, which is obviously, as you're saying, if you've got housing at present. So if we've housing in an area, it is a duty for us to inform, and it's social housing, we've a duty to inform the person there that there is a house that is empty currently now, to advise them aligned to an area where there isn't housing and build it, and then the houses that are there that may be empty at present would end up with a level of oversupply. I hear if it's a case of choices and it's a list coming down, then absolutely. And that's why the latent test looks at that. It looks at the surrounding area to see. But what we don't want to do either is displacement, whereby we have got properties available for them and that we haven't actually informed them that they've an availability of a house tomorrow. Otherwise, we're keeping them on a list rather than in a house that they could get a key, go in the door and be there. So I hear what you're saying, but in regard to this, the best way for us on it is to do these latent demand tests as well as that, because our aim of the exercise is first and foremost is as quickly as possible to get somebody a house if we can, and we have them on our books.
There are a number of councillors who have indicated that we haven't spoken yet, and I'll take them in as the order that they are indicated. I would appreciate if councillors didn't jump in. I know housing is a big issue, but don't jump in if you've already had a speak. Wait until the end, and maybe the team might take your concerns in. Willie.
All right, thanks, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Just in regards to the current theme, in regards to the cleansing of the estates, I would agree that leaves a lot to be desired. It's not just the housing executive, as I've said before, it's the council, and it's DFI roads as well. It's all our responsibility. And currently, there's a review of cleansing framework within neighbourhood services, and there's discussions with DFI as well. So I think it would be good if the three organisations came together, you know, and had a cohesive response. And I know there's problems with alleyways, and it's the same in Newcastle as well, that there's someone belonging to the housing executive and someone with DFA, and then that's council cleansing. But I think the point is that they should be monitored on a regular basis, regardless of who owns the alleyways. Then they should be cleansed on a regular basis. I think that's the point that needs to be made by all the statutory bodies. In regards to the new mention about clean-ups, and so did Cadogan. And again, I was involved in these clean-ups as well in the Newcastle area. And, you know, there is a real requirement to do them. The areas are a really, really bad state. Some of the areas haven't been cleaned for years. You know, so there's something seriously wrong, and there's a breakdown in our responsibilities collectively. You know, so that does have to be dealt with. And I think through community planning, we should be dealing with them issues. You know, I think it's unacceptable. You know, and there's issues with cars being parked and vehicles can't get in, and you can't get cleansed, and all them issues. But there needs to be a communication with the communities when cleansing's going to take place. You know, that the vehicles are moved, the alleyways are cleansed on a schedule that everybody can buy into, each organisation can buy into. I think it can be solved, you know.
We welcome that and the task force. That's a good idea, the task force, if we get the parties all together and sit down and see, because actually if there's three bodies with responsibility for this coming together, it will expedite it. And certainly I've heard from obviously a number of you today, so I'll be bringing that back into headquarters to see what else we can do aligned to this. We've heard it loud and clear tonight, so that would be for us as well to expedite.
Another point is in regards to the site identification study that's been carried out in Newcastle. I suppose what is the results from that study? Is there a report available in regards to it? Do you want to take that?
Yeah, there was 20 sites reviewed, and four of them looked to have potential. So
right.
We're in the process of identifying their owners and getting in touch with them to take that forward.
Right. So there's four possible?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good news, because obviously there's a huge housing stress. There's 180 in housing stress in Newcastle on the list, and 281 housing applicants, so it's considerable.
We published a commissioning prospectus with the programme, and that sort of lists the areas where we have unmet need, and that sort of helps us to get associations to target those areas, and obviously Newcastle has been on that for quite some time.
Yes.
And I know they are active, but they have difficulty, you know, negotiating and acquiring sites because the land is expensive there, and there's been issues with the floodplain as well.
Yeah.
And you know, all this has sort of impacted on reducing that 20 down to just 4.
Yeah. And there's major issues for ourselves in the local development plan and moving forward and identifying sites as well because of them constraints that you mentioned. The main problem I have is young families in upstairs flats. You know, and need for, you know, 3-bedroom accommodation.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one I would have at the minute. I know it's sort of alleviated slightly with the development in Castle Island. A lot of young families have now moved up to Castle Island, but there's also a housing stress in Castle Island. You know, so.
Well, I welcome you say 3-bed because we at times are being pushed to look at 2-bed because of obviously welfare reform, but actually there's still a need for family level accommodation.
There is. It definitely is, because it puts real pressure on young families, you know, and safety issues and balconies and all those sorts of issues. In regards to the report, the affordable warrant scheme, $12 million for 2018-20, it needs expanded. You know, it is a great scheme, and it targets a lot of the issues that members were raising in regards to insulation, keeping the homes warm, you know, improving the condition. Are you bidding for extra resources?
We are. We got a business case approved there, and it's for significant money. It will depend on the budgets and what we get in the next financial year coming in as of next March. But certainly, if we get sufficient funding for it, we can roll it out. And I have to say the councils are very helpful in getting the referrals through to us. It's also a scheme that the process has been reviewed to make it faster. And it seems to be as well from applicants, we tend to get quite a high satisfaction rate from our applicants as well. I think it's a 97% satisfaction rate.
That's very good.
On affordable.
It's an excellent scheme. The action plan for the BBA in regards to the cavity wall installation in private homes, there was a report to be coming out in the autumn, your report says. There's really poor insulated homes, you know, in the private sector. Just as any inkling of when the report will be out.
The report, I think the draft report is out at the moment on cavity wall insulation. On the social housing stock side, we're looking at it as in respect to what the plan of works will be. On the private sector stock, we have the borescope equipment, and therefore, when going out, if there's any evidence of cavity wall insulation issues there, we're carrying out the borescoping, and then if the applicant wants the works completed, we advise them, and that's taking place. So we'll encourage more as we continue on with this, but we have the equipment and are carrying out checks on the properties.
In regards to the renovation grants, home repair grants, are they still available? Or are they discretionary?
The discretionary are at a low level. We'd love to have more funding in the pot. We just don't have it. It may be something in future, and future governments may look at, because the social is getting better, the stock and the private is actually getting worse.
Okay.
But we only have small levels of funding for discretionary grants at the moment.
I'm thinking of the likes of replacing flat roofs.
Yeah.
You know, that type of.
Yeah.
Keeping people in their own.
I know. We have low level monies to do that at the moment.
But you are still in certain circumstances?
Yes. In certain circumstances of disrepair, we are. But it's I think in total, it's only a couple of million we have right across Northern Ireland. It's not.
It's very low.
It's very low level.
It's probably something that we, as a council, should be raising the awareness in regards to that. Because it does keep people in their own homes.
Homes. It does. It keeps them longer in their own homes.
Yeah.
But it is like all these things, it's the priorities that will hit the budgets coming through next year.
Just in regards to the old Down Hospital site, there's a delay, it must be 6 months in regards to, is it piling or ground conditions? Is there any update on that? What's that for?
Yeah, Una asked that too earlier on and it wasn't responded to. No, this is where there is.
That's where I didn't
hear. This is Clanmill on that. I will get back to you on that one. As I said, I'm meeting the next week, so I can get back to you on the status of what's the hold up on that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just the last point is to the building of flats in the Bundy estate. It's nearly 3 years since the arson attack. And residents, what's happening? I know it's contractual arrangements and court type stuff, but.
Well, luckily, on a positive note, we've actually managed to get that sorted. So, yes, unfortunately, it has taken really an awful lot longer than we had hoped. So the first phase is completed. That contractor has not been given the work for the second phase due to performance. So basically, it has been given to another contractor. They're about to be surveyed, and we are proceeding with... We've had the briefing meeting, so hopefully you'll start to see work starting there shortly. And in line with that, we are running the CCTV scheme as well. So there's going to be CCTV going into Bracken Avenue and Burndale Park Road as well.
That's it.
On a different scheme, but positive note.
That's a positive note. I've long called for CCTV to be in the communal areas of the flats, you know, for the security. You just have to look at the housing in Donner Street and how successful that has been. The CCTV, there's a very little incident. So thanks very much.
Have anything else, Adelaide?
Yeah, thanks.
Karen?
Thanks very much, Sheriff. Thank you for coming and giving a lovely presentation. A lot of positive stuff and a lot of negative stuff here this evening, but when you only get an opportunity maybe once a year to have a conversation with all three of you or whatever in the one room, I suppose that's what happens. Just on the cleansing, it's probably one of the biggest complaints that we as councillors have had. And it's very, you have to do a wee bit of homework yourself on who owns the area. Some of it's council, some of it's yourselves, some of it's others. And so I do agree with Councillor Clark's comments on maybe if the organisations can come together and come up with a bigger and better plan. Because, it's only going to improve the whole area. It's even lifting the grass, and that's something that we've been working through with our neighbourhood services team to see if the council can also do that as well. Because it's very dirty looking and lying there. And in some cases, the grass can be a couple of foot long. And it gets near. Can I mention Lurgan Eyre? Where the grass cutting there, particularly this year, was pretty poor. The locals did come together one or two families and done their best, but they really shouldn't have to do that, and it is in your thing. The 43 homes in Hilltown and Muirbridge that are getting the heating installation, have to say that's very welcome news, because I know when you're coming out with that, it has been a bad state of repair before you've replaced them, so I'm welcoming that. I'm also welcoming the new kitchen replacements in the Warren Point Services Heal area as well, where 59 homes are going to avail of that, which is great. God help anybody in the local community of Muirbridge and Ballyhoon Lucken House, because you've delivered nothing nice is there. And I'm sure that's the last couple of years as well, there's no houses allocated. And I suppose with 1,800 houses that you have planned for the next 5 years, the point system that allows people to be allocated houses, you know, we have a lot of support in the community, where, you know, they're supporting our primary schools, locals are supporting the primary schools, the play groups, our GA, top 7, they're the hub of the community and keeping them going. But we've seen in the past far too many times that when development is being released, that the point system isn't working for everybody. And there's been an influx of a lot of applications where somebody can come in and have a load of points, and really not give an opportunity to those who are living in the hub of the community. And on that basis, it's now causing a fear within communities, where planning applications will be made for social housing, and the community know that we might as well not bother apply because it'll not work for us. And it's the point system that is at fault. I do agree that there should be a system, and you know, it can be falsely portrayed that no locals need apply, you know, because of this, and it's given a fear in the community. So could I ask, is there any plans to update the point system, or to look at it further to make it fairer for everybody in that as well? The applications in 56 applications for the Hilltown area, and Councillor Hurst already touched on some for Carquillion. There was less than 10 houses allocated in Hilltown, but yet there was 56 applications, and the houses were there. So I mean, if you could come back to that, that would be even great. I'm assuming some of them from Restrever has put their name down for Hilltown House now, because they have hardly hope of getting anything in Restrever as well. And that's the way it goes. And I'm not sure about the Muirbridge ones at the time for Hilltown, but certainly the Restrever ones will. But that was a wee joke for so I mean, just the cleaning as well. Well, I've already touched on it as well. So I mean, maybe we can get a few of those things looked at. I'd really greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, certainly. With regard to the point system, it has been out to consultation, and there is an intention to review the point system at the moment in order for that, because it's a policy. For that to be changed, there needs to be government in place that will sign this off. But the majority of the work is done on that policy, and it's been out there and widely consulted upon. In regard to the cleansing, I've heard it from everyone, and as I said, that's the biggest thing trending. So I thought it was a good idea from Councillor Clark there, a task force that we'll put together with our own representatives, but also from Road Service and from Council, and let's see what we can try and put in place as an action plan there to address that, because I can hear clearly it's a big issue for everyone. In regard to the new houses,
in relation to Ballyholland, Rural Housing Association have a site that's currently going through planning for 14 units, so they would hope to get on site there before the end of this financial year, so hopefully we'll be reading about it next year. In relation to Mayo Bridge, we've had a couple of proposals in recent months from associations for a new build there that we're looking at. In relation to Hilltown, I suppose there's 56 applicants on the waiting list, 42 of them are in housing stress, and there were less than 10 allocations, so that would certainly suggest that those 6 houses that are left, you know, there's plenty of capacity for them to be occupied from that list.
Okay. Liz?
Yes, thanks. Again, thanks for the presentation, it's very good. And I just want to put on record, I suppose, my experience was particularly with the Newry office. I find Owen McDonald on the team there excellent, and Loma of course yourself, but since last wee while I've been working closely with the team regarding a number of issues around Thomas Street, Clary Crescent and that area in terms of the alley gating, and the stuff being excellent, you know, the very responsive and you know the residents on the ground are pleased with that too, so just a wee bit of positivity. It's just a quick update. It was brought to my attention the last few days regarding Barcroft Park about the proposal for the next scheme. Just a lady I was speaking to saying that they're waiting on new windows. Her windows aren't even locking anymore. They're such poor condition. So it was a check when that's scheduled for. And I thought originally it was scheduled for this year, but I could be wrong. And if we could even get a dates of all the schemes for Newry that are planned in the next maybe year or so too. I know some of the other councillors were interested in that as well. So just so we can feedback then, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, thanks Liz. Yes, the windows. We have had some issues with our window contract. We are probably at the stage now, I'll come back to you on it, I think we're just going to get confirmation that we're probably going to have to re-tender the scheme. So that has been an issue for Carnegat and Barcroft. But what we'll do as well is we're happy to send out the planned schemes for the forthcoming year. We'll put them in order for the ones that are definitely going to go ahead. We always hold reserves. So if we're running ahead and we have the opportunity to do more work, we will do it. But we can send you out the programme as it is. No issue with that. And I'll come back to you on the windows.
Yeah. We do have to return them. There we go, nothing up to date, we're re-tendering. So unfortunately that's going to put that back.
Well, the re-tender process usually takes 3 to 4 months. Yeah.
Harold.
Thanks Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Specifically one part, Rooney Park in Kilkeel, in the springtime, road service were in and they lifted a lot of broken flags. The fit ways are very bad. A lot of broken cracked flags and sunken flags. So they have done about the half of it, and a lot of residents at that time contacted me to see when are they doing ours. So I can contact road service and they say phase one is done, phase two will be done, all subject to budget. But again, I think there's a impunity plan needs to be dealt with there. There's too much overflowing, one's responsible and somebody else is not responsible. I have been told that there's up 3 different grass cutters at one time, albeit that didn't say the grass was cut when it should have been cut. They were complaining about the height of the grass. But then I was taken for a walk by one of the residents and I can see where his concerns are. Those areas which are not in grass but are paved areas, and areas which will not be done by road service because they do belong to executive, housing executive, and they're cobbles and they're all shapes and stuff. And at one time maybe there was trees have grown and they have been taken out of whatever happened, and they're very much sunk. So to me there's just an accident waiting to happen. And there's another areas, there's wee cobbles fit in and concrete areas maybe 4 foot wide, and you know, I don't know how people haven't sipped on them. If they are, they're not saying they have done. They're very green, at least power hose them, but best to take them away at some stage. So that's what I would like, something done there as soon as you can. Okay, thank you.
Who have we now?
So Charlie. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, and thanks for your presentation as well. If I just ask, the lady here, there was one thing you gave an example there, it was Harmony Heights and Ballyhold. I think you said there was an application for 14, but I just noticed that then I think that the figures then said 6. So we presume the other 7 then are going to ordinary applicants, not social housing. I'm just trying to get my head around what all that actually means.
That's
only one part of the question.
When Rural contacted us first, they were looking at 6 units. But when they conducted more feasibility on the site, it was capable of developing more. So that will be updated to read, I think it's 14.
Oh, is it the total?
That is completely going. Yeah.
Right, I was just looking at that. Yeah, I was just wondering what happened, because I was looking through, especially Broadleaf, represent that area, of course, and, you know, certainly in the bigger towns, there's quite a lot of build programmed in for the next 5 years. But if you looked at, I mean, Warren Point, 201 for Warren Point, and like there's no plans, you know, for Strever, what is it, 57 applications, and there must be a total, it must be an internal allocation of 11, just for supposed maybe turning over, I presume that's that. But like there's nothing there. Touching Ballyhole, the Barn, Main, the Dorgan area, the Karen mentioned there. Again, the small numbers, of course, you know, but what efforts or what have you done, you know, in those areas? Because we can't forget that those rural areas that are identified themselves, and you, if you don't have them, people are going to move elsewhere and put pressure on other places, you know. So those are wee gaps there, I just noticed that, you know.
In relation to those areas, because a lot of our work over the last 12 months has been on the bigger towns, and we are over the coming 12 months looking more to the rural areas. Within Warren Point, we have completed a site investigation study, and there was, we looked at 22 sites. Six of those would indicate potential, so we'll be following that up with the owners and working with associations to try and look at what potential there's there.
Those are six sites?
Yeah.
And what sort of numbers are you talking about?
I don't have that detail, but they would be...
But, yeah.
I suppose we were looking at schemes for sort of 10, 12, up to much larger numbers, but it would just depend on what the potential is on the individual sites. With regards to...
Strever.
Ross Strever, we'll be doing a similar study for those areas. You know, over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what maybe the previous study showed.
Well, I'm not aware of us having a previous study.
Well, you probably did, you know, but I'd maybe look back and see how, because those areas are always they're very tight in terms of build and expansion, you know, the geographical.
But those investigation studies will be important for us, because I suppose if they're showing off limited potential now, and as we move into the local development plan process, and some of those areas will need to have their development limits reviewed. A lot of that work that we're doing now through those site investigation studies will sort of help inform the evidence base to justify some of those settlement limits being extended. So,
the site shapers have been put in place only in the last couple of years. Housing associations, obviously, they build out for us. So historically, they would have identified the land. And in addition to that, more recent times they do competitive design and build. So if a developer has land, they can come forward with that in a competitive design and build, and rather than sell it out, sell it on, develop the whole thing out. But our place shapers are on top of that now, doing site identification. So really it's to try and, I suppose, do as much as possible in order to get this moving in respect to movement of land. And transfer across. It's still the housing association at present who do the build work for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could just even suggest, as the local development plan starts to take traction, that you would, you know, make efforts to engage with all those in the DEA area.
Absolutely.
The intimate knowledge of you know, of their and what the pressures are. Like, we would hear a lot, you know, especially a lot of community identity issues, that people, there's no housing there at the moment, and people feeling that they're losing their identity because they have to move off. Their new young, you know, the new generation has to move out. So,
yeah,
would appreciate some interaction.
And I agree that the local development plan to us as well is critical, and that it is. It's generally a good relationship with the planners on this, going through that, because also there's, if there's with us with land and there's potential land swaps and things like that, we're open on that. We know there's a larger scale programme going on. Strategic Investment Board is leading it, but is looking at all our other public sector sites, because I'd be keen that we could look at, we've a lot of other government departments with a lot of public land, that we could look at that land and see potential with some of that land for housing as well.
Okay.
So there's a few different projects coming to the fore now, looking to get land so that we can release it for housing.
Okay, thanks folks.
Gary?
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. We're well aware of the very public issue we're having in Uri City Centre at the moment, with a number of rough sleepers sleeping in rather precarious locations, for example, along the Abbey Way, which is the Uri carriageway that runs through the centre of Uri. I'm aware this is not a simple issue, and maybe people have looked at this before, but I wonder, given the fact, Jerry, we're coming into the winter and everything that's going to bring, that we, maybe through the DEA forum, sure we could sit down with the housing executive and potentially Newry bid and take a fresh look at this and at least maybe even see if there's anything we can do to alleviate this over the winter, Chair. Thank you.
We can get them to the sand.
Yeah, Gary, just to give you a bit of detail on it, yes, we have spoken to the individuals that you have mentioned that have been identified to us. We carry out, every year we're carrying out a street count of the number of rough sleepers in Newry. The first time we did it, we came up, there were 3 identified. The last time that number had gone up to 5. Basically what we found was the individuals were offered the service that we could provide them. The fact that they had no recourse to public funds is where they fall between the gaps. So what we are proposing to do moving forward is we're going to move up from a street count to a street audit. The problem with the street count is it's just one night, once a year, and you just see who's on the street at that stage. The street audit will be a 6-week count at different varying times so we can get a clearer picture, because we are being told that there's potentially more than 5 people sleeping rough. We do have a local homeless action group, which we're tying in with some of the local voluntary agencies to see what we can do as well. We're, the Polish consulate attend that as well. So the housing executive still has no remit because they have no recourse to public funds, but we're looking to see if there's anything else that we can do to help them in the immediate term. But we're also raising that up through the strategic steering group to say, well, that's okay saying that there's no recourse to public funds, but these individuals still need some help somewhere. So fully aware of the issue, trying to see what we can do locally, and we'll move forward with the street audit and see where we end up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thought that was on. It's more an aspect of one of the schemes that you have regards to the dementia pilot scheme. I just want to know to say how successful it has become now and the future plans for that, and how is the integration within the health trust going?
Okay, yes. Well, we were delighted actually to have the first dementia pilot in Southdown within the housing executive. So basically what that has meant is the initial stages of it were really to train all our staff and make them dementia friendly. We took it then to the next stage where we have dementia champions. So those are people who get more enhanced training and would be looking to see, well, how do we build up the referral process? So we have worked really closely with the dementia navigators within the trust. So we have the navigator in Newry and the navigator in Downpatrick. The referrals come through to us, and basically what we are trying to do is to try and ensure that we can sustain people living with dementia in their homes as long as possible. So we're doing practical stuff. We have dementia packs. So we have very practical items that can help them feel comfortable in their homes. We will carry out extra adaptations. It could be something as simple as blue toilet seats, blue grab rails. Very practical stuff that's been recommended by the occupational therapists. That has been extremely successful. We are trying to remove the fear. A lot of people living with dementia have a fear as well that the housing executive was getting involved to try and put them out of their home, maybe to move them on to other accommodation. So working with the navigators has been really successful. There's a formal evaluation of the pilot being undertaken, but even ahead of that, the housing executive has committed to roll it out into other areas. So it's going out into South Area and up into Causeway, and it will be, I imagine, going province-wide.
Thanks for that. I just know that I was asking in regards to that last one, is regards to obviously in conjunction with the dementia bus, such like that, is that something that you would be following along with?
Yes, the dementia champions. So we are currently, actually tomorrow and the next day, we're doing more training for more staff to become dementia champions. The champions to date have gone on the bus. We link very closely to the WAP group, the Wellbeing Action Partnership in Newry as well. So we link through the trust there, and they will advise us on any dementia projects coming up. We work really closely with the Alzheimer's Society too. So we're building it up gradually. The number of referrals is increasing monthly. We started really, you know, from scratch, I suppose. And now we're looking at moving it across even to our housing applicants. So we had focused on the tenants, but there's potentially people coming through the housing solutions team that we could keep them in their private properties as well. So we're looking, I think we're getting approval actually to provide some of those packs in the private properties too. So it's it's gaining momentum and it's really, really valuable. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Joe.
Juliet Patrick, thanks very much, Joe.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
No, I don't think so, no. Just pulling these plug out. That's it. Thanks very much. Thanks, first.
Thank you.